Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called Prometheus Steals the Fire, an adaptation of a Greek myth written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Eli and Olive and their family, Bixie, Malcolm, and Finney and their family, Nico and the rest of the Petros family, Valentina and her family from Huntersville, North Carolina, Coraline and her family, Hazel and her family from Nashville, Tennessee, Sebastian and Joaquin and their family from Ensenada, Mexico, and Nolan and Liam and their family in Modesto. Thank you so much, Liam, Nolan, Joaquin, Sebastian, Hazel, Coraline, Valentina, Nico, Finney, Malcolm, Bixie, Olive, and Eli. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or just tell a friend about us. You can also head over to patreon.com/stories and make a monthly donation. For just $1 a month, you can listen to all of our new episodes and our entire back catalog ad-free. Now, here's a word from our sponsors. Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Prometheus Steals the Fire. Long ago, in the days before people knew the secrets of iron and Greece was but a dream, life for humans was cold and dark. The great god Zeus had seen it fit to give them the sun, but the sun only shone during the daytime. At night, or during cloudy days, it was pitch black, and there was nothing to be done about it. Humans prayed to Zeus to give them something more, but he refused. It upset him that they weren't more thankful for the sun and moon, and it worried him that they wanted more.
"They're beautiful," he grumbled to the other gods. "Look at them. The sun. You ever seen anything so bright and warm? And the moon, come on, it's gorgeous. Maybe these ingrates should appreciate what they've been given. I mean, all I hear is complaining. Bah, it's too cold. Bah, it's too dark. No one ever says thank you, Zeus, for all your very good work. And say I give them fire to help. What will they do with that? Knowledge will only make life more difficult for them. They're better off how they are now, quiet in their caves. Emphasis on quiet." The other gods would all agree with him. Not because they really agreed, but they just didn't care. Humans weren't of much interest to them back then, and they were content to let Zeus play his petty games. On all of Mount Olympus, there was only one person who felt pity for the humans. It was a titan named Prometheus. His name meant forethought, and it fit him well. He was always thinking ahead, planning and scheming to make the world a better place. He had a particular soft spot for the humans, and Zeus's rant had made him angry. When the other gods left the throne room, he marched up to Zeus and stood before the throne, waiting.
"Prometheus, of course," said Zeus. "I suppose you're here to bother me about the humans again. Is that it? Did I guess it? What's my prize, boy?"
Prometheus rolled his eyes. He could already tell this wasn't going to work. Zeus was a bully and a blowhard. He had always been a bully and a blowhard. Still, he had to try.
"Think of them. They're forced to crouch in caves in the darkness at night, eating raw meat and shivering. Surely we could give them fire, a weapon against the black chill and the wild beasts?"
"No," said Zeus. "I gave them the sun and the moon and the stars, and they should be content with that. To give them more will only confuse them. And besides, they aren't worthy of it."
"But isn't it our job to help make them worthy? We're like parents punishing children that we've not bothered to raise."
"Enough!" roared Zeus. "Humans are simple creatures, and fire brings power, knowledge, and progress. I say they don't need it, they don't deserve it, and they won't have it."
He slammed down his fist and lightning crackled in the air. A mortal would have been destroyed, but Prometheus was only blown backwards towards the door.
"Begone with you!"
Prometheus stood up slowly, looked at Zeus, and then strolled out of the throne room.
He'd gotten nowhere, and now his back hurt to boot. He should have known that Zeus would never change. He walked, head down in thought, not really caring where his feet took him. Soon, he was strolling along a mountain stream, enjoying the smell of the wild fennel plants. His conversation with Zeus was pricking at him again and again, like a stone stuck in the heel of a shoe. "I can't believe this," he muttered to himself. "How can a god be so dense?" In frustration, he kicked at the brush by the riverbed. Something broke off and spun away, trailing a white fluff. Curious, Prometheus picked it up and peered inside. It was a dried fennel stalk, hard on the outside and fluffy on the inside. He cocked his arm to throw it in the river and then paused. An idea flashed through his mind, a plan forming all at once, swifter even than Zeus's lightning. A smile shone sudden across his face. Prometheus turned the plant over in his hands. The soft fluff would burn for a long, long time, and the dry, hard exterior would keep it protected. If he could just manage to get some fire, the fennel stalk would be the perfect way to sneak it down to Earth. The problem would be getting the fire. In those days, it was rare even on Mount Olympus. There were only a few places to get it, and none of them would be easy. He thought for a moment and decided to try and talk to Apollo first. He made his way to the edge of Mount Olympus, where Apollo was readying his chariot to pull the sun across the sky. Prometheus told him about his plan to steal the fire and asked Apollo to carry him so he could light the fennel stalk from the fire of the sun.
"Oh, no," said Apollo, putting up his hands to silence Prometheus. "I heard Zeus earlier, and I want no part of this. I mind my business, and my business is the sun. I'm sorry, friend, and I'm sorry for the humans, too, but I can't take you with me."
Prometheus sighed. "I understand, but maybe I could stow away? You can pretend not to notice."
"The chariot is big enough for me alone. Zeus would never believe it."
Apollo shook his head.
"No, I can't help you. You better try and find your fire somewhere else. Or better yet, just give up entirely. Humans are fine. Learning more will only upset them."
Dejected, Prometheus left Apollo to raise the sun and went to find Hestia. She was the goddess of the home and hearth and always kept a fire going to comfort the home of the gods. Prometheus found her by the flames, her hair shining with sweet-smelling oils.
"Hello, Prometheus," she said, opening her arms in welcome. "Would you like to warm your bones at my hearth?"
He smiled at her and stepped up to the fire, letting its heat wash over him. It was close, so close that he could almost light his little fennel stalk.
"Thank you, Hestia," he said. "Say, would you mind if I took a little to go?"
She blinked at him.
"Took a little? Took a little of what?"
He jerked his chin at the fireplace.
"You know, a little fire. Just a bit."
Hestia narrowed her eyes at him.
"Oh, no, 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 no,"
she said, jabbing her finger into his ribs to punctuate every word.
"I heard what Zeus said. I won't be part of any scheme of yours, Prometheus. You may be clever, but you care too much for the humans. Leave them be, I say. If they get fire, they'll only learn more and more. What, do you want them to replace us?"
She shook her head sadly and gave him a motherly pat on the cheek.
"No, I'm sorry, Prometheus. I won't share my fire with you, and I'll have to tell Zeus if you try and take it."
"I understand," he said. "Well, I'd hate to get you in trouble. I think I'll be on my way now."
"Come back sometime," she called after him, "when you've got these foolish notions out of your head."
Prometheus headed away,
There was only one place left to try, and this time he wouldn't make the mistake of asking. For the good of the humans, he would have to steal the fire. They were suffering without it, and to let suffering happen when you can stop it was the greatest sin Prometheus could think of. A new plan in mind, he headed for the great forge of Mount Olympus, where they made the weapons and armor of the gods. It was a colossal building, beautifully wrought of stone and metal. A red glow blazed from its doorway, like you were looking down the throat of a dragon about to blast a fiery breath. The illusion was complemented by the constant roar of the air bellows from deep within. Under that din were the shouts of workers and the clanging of hammers and the crackle of the metal melting forge fires. The fires. That's what Prometheus was interested in. But this time, he wasn't going to ask. He walked into the forge and felt his skin tighten from the dry heat. After a moment of peering around workers and anvils and giant crucibles, he spied Hephaestus, god of blacksmithing, the forges, volcanoes, and all manner of fiery things. He was a beast of a man, with muscles like boulders from swinging his hammer all day. He had a voice to match. It was like the roar of a bull, carrying above even the loudest hammer blows.
"Pick up the pace," he bellowed. "We need these new spears ready for Ares today, or he's going to be angry. And trust me, you wouldn't like him when he's angry. Now move!"
The workers jumped back to their tasks, hammers blazing and sparks striking into the air, smelling of burning metal and oils. Prometheus crept closer to Hephaestus, careful to keep the racks of weapons and workbenches between them. The blacksmith moved to a back corner of the workshop, lined with racks of strange tripods. Prometheus followed on his heels, carefully out of sight.
"All right, Bastion,"
Hephaestus said to the young blacksmith who was sitting among the racks.
"This whole batch of automatons is no good. They're supposed to help around the forge, but I didn't get the magic quite right in the middle, and they're just a menace."
The big smith thumped on a crucible that stood next to the racks. The giant metal tub rang hollowly and then began to glow with a magic warmth. In moments, the crucible was hot enough to melt whatever was placed inside.
"Feed these to the crucible, one at a time now," he said. "And careful when you pick them up. The legs are fine, but they'll activate if you grab that center sphere when they come together."
Bastion nodded and Hephaestus clapped him on the shoulder and then walked away. Prometheus watched him through the bustle of the shop until he was out of sight. He gave the young smith a few minutes, watching him feed a couple of the tripod robots into the boiling crucible. When he judged enough time had passed, he leapt around the weapons rack, panting like he was out of breath.
"You, Bastion!" he said, eyes wide and panicked. "Hephaestus needs you quick. He said forget the automatons and hurry."
Bastion jumped in shock and then started to stammer out a question.
"There's no time. He needs you. Go, go, go."
The young man looked at the rack of automatons and then back to Prometheus, opened his mouth to say something, and then turned and took off towards Hephaestus.
"So far, so good," Prometheus said, walking up to the rack of robots. "Elegant machines. It's a shame that you didn't work out. Still, I think I can find a use for you."
One by one, he placed his palm on the center of over a dozen tripods. They shook and kicked like sleeping dogs and then shook themselves awake. For a moment, though, they were too broken for his plan to work. But then they started to chitter and took off in every direction. In moments, the forge was full of crashes and screams and hisses and clangs.
"Don't just stand there," shouted Hephaestus. "Catch the blasted things."
The shop sank further into chaos. Dozens of blacksmiths ran back and forth, hitting robots and each other with hammers and tongs. Sparks flew wildly, and the bellows began to work in overdrive, roaring louder than even the angry god.
Smoke spilled out of furnaces and steam spilled from quenches, and the air grew thick as honey. Others coughed and ran blindly. They tripped and rolled and flailed, but Prometheus had memorized the layout of the forge the first time he went inside. Without so much as a stumble, he made his way to the center of the forge. There, he approached the great fire of the gods, unguarded for the moment. With tender care, Prometheus set fire to the fluff of his dried fennel stalk. It flared up for a moment and then burned down to a low, smoldering coal. "No more darkness," he said to himself. Then, whistling happily, he turned and strolled out through the shop, leaving chaos and flames in his wake. Another, smaller fire clutched carefully to his chest, cradled like a baby. He smiled then, and, knowing that Zeus's anger would be extreme, he still found the courage to take the stolen fire and leave Mount Olympus forever. Far below, in a cave in a land that would someday be Greece, a group of people sat huddled in a circle. It was night, and the animals were hunting. The moon was only a sliver in the sky, and it was too dark to dare going outside. The cave was cold, though, and wet, so they sat close to each other for warmth. In the middle slept the children, but the adults only slept in shifts, always leaving a large group awake and watching the cave mouth for lions. They heard a noise outside of their cave and leapt to their feet, the watchers quickly waking the sleepers. When no monster bounded into the cave, they called out in a frightened voice,
"Ho! Who goes there? We want no trouble!"
Prometheus entered the cave, disguised as a shabby-looking old man. "I want no trouble either," he said, lowering his hood and showing a kindly smile. "I have a gift for you." From the folds of his robes, he pulled out the fennel stalk. Inside, the fluff still smoldered, burning red as a cherry. Setting that aside, he made a pile of brush and sticks and then kissed it with the fire from the stalk. Hesitant, almost shy, the fire flickered to life. At once, the dark and cold that seemed to fill the cave were banished, driven away like a monster before the flame. In their place, for the first time at night, humans felt warmth and light.
"This is a miracle," said one. "What is it?"
"It's called fire," Prometheus said. "Now get comfortable, because I've got a lot to tell you." He spent the rest of the night teaching the small group about fire, and the next day they spread in every direction, each one clutching a dried fennel stalk to their chests. And many days later, when Zeus finally bothered to check in on the humans, he found a land alive with firelight. He raged and bellowed and blustered, but there was nothing he could do. Prometheus had stolen the fire, and humans would never have to live in darkness again. The end.
Today's story, Prometheus Steals the Fire, was an adaptation of a Greek myth written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, make a monthly donation at patreon.com/stories, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.